This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
G&D on the Fan, day two of the NFL draft and game three for the Capitals. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. Coming out to Pupatella, get some lunch, eat some pizza, have some drinks, and kick it with us. Before we get back to the draft, we've got some business to tend to here.
Indeed, yeah.
So we've got a listener here. What was your name? Ben. So Ben, a listener right here, came up to Danny. And what did he say to you exactly, Danny?
He was like, hey, how's it going? So you have me blocked on Twitter. And like before it was like, I'm Ben, or I'm Steve, I'm Dave, I like the show. It's exciting, yeah. I've been watching on Twitter, but I really enjoy the show. I'm a self-loathing Dallas fan. I was in a dark place.
Right.
I may have said some things that got me blocked.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I really like the show, and I'm a transplant from New England. We did New England shtick, and it all went fine.
All right, so I found some of his tweets here.
Okay.
From way back in 2017. And he's like, he's cringing. He feels awful.
Okay.
And so I'm going to read some of these tweets that led to the blocking while he's standing right here with us. And I just want to see, with the crowd here, you guys can tell us at the end. We'll have a little poll. Should he be unblocked by Danny?
What I usually do is, if someone says something that's like dickish or not that kind, I was like, I'll just mute you and never do it. Very rarely do I want to give the satisfaction of a block. But here, sometimes it's so ridiculous.
Ben, go grab this mic.
That you get the Mutombo.
I want to ask you a question. Come on over here. Because I get the sense that you actually do like the show, right? You came by. It seems like you even like Danny. Dare I say, you and Danny seem to be having a good interaction today.
We did some New England shtick, right?
Yeah, I think that it seems like you guys have patched it up. All these years later, you're in a good place with him.
Yeah, I enjoy the content very much.
Okay. So here I'm going to read some of these, Danny.
All right, here we go.
Nobody gives me secondhand embarrassment like at Funny Danny on the radio. You are the reason podcasts are booming. That's tough.
Congrats on the podcast, though. You're doing great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Podcasts are doing just fine.
All right. Yeah. Swear Funny Danny is chasing the masses away from the Fan. Tune into 106.7 for 3 minutes before I switch back to podcast. Unbearable.
Unbearable.
So this was 8 years ago. It seems like we made a believer out of you.
I was always like a listener and a fan, but when he goes on those tirades about the Cowboys, he has a deep disdain, which
I do.
Fair.
I do.
And for whatever reason, I felt like I was singly targeted.
Right.
So I would flip out and then go Twitter fingers on him.
So this is proof, I'd say,
yeah,
that Twitter's not a real place, because he never really disliked you.
It seems like there was some dislike, though, right?
I mean, yeah, I think he's completely wrong. I was very mad.
Yeah, mad dislike are different. Like, my spouse gets mad at me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a bad example. She doesn't like me.
But she loves you.
Yeah, she doesn't tweet me. No, she loves me, but doesn't really like me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Here's one where you've made some life changes. Like, this didn't age well. You ready?
Okay.
Because you're looking svelte and you work out all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to hurt.
This one's going to be tough.
I can already tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be an unnecessary low blow, right?
He says, you probably haven't walked your fat, false sense of self-worth ass up a mountain either, fanny pack, backpack, hashtag choices.
I'm so embarrassed right now, man.
that makes two of us, but I'm trying to wonder what was that in relation to.
I don't know.
We can't see the replies.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, Grant has my phone, and I just searched the tweet, so I didn't even get a chance to comb these before
I handed
the phone to him.
Again, though, I think what's important is he's our friend now, right?
Right. It's friendlier than that, I would say.
Yes. So
that was pretty unfriendly.
To be fair, everybody's in high spirits. You guys are in a great place.
We're in a great place.
Yeah.
The Commanders are good.
Yes.
The Capitals are in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys are terrible. Everybody's very happy. Although I got to be careful. I'm about to get some mean tweets, right? All right, so then we should ask the people here. So Danny's considering unblocking him, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now. See if I can find my list of blocks. And there's actually more
there's
than
a lot of blocks
well,
in
this,
there.
Well, see, this entire subsection here, that's those women aren't real. They didn't really think I was cute.
A lot of those,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they said that I was cute. I'm not. They know.
All right, so let's poll the audience here. All right, you guys will make the decision. You're Ben, right?
Yeah.
So Ben's a good guy. He just had a tough night on Twitter, it sounds like.
Months.
All right, so we're going to go round of applause. If you think he should be unblocked, let's hear it for Ben.
That's decent applause for Ben.
Wow.
A decent applause. People like a redemption
story. If you think he should stay blocked, let's hear it.
I can't tell. That's the applause
in the middle.
Now, third option, what about an unblock and a reblock? No? Okay. That was shtick.
Oh, he's saying if maybe an apology leads to an unblock, and we could just bring you guys together as friends forever.
I don't need an apology, but if you feel compelled to, that's fine. I mean, like people are very comfortable saying horrendous crap to us,
right?
And I'm like, but I'm not that. You got to have a better target. Like, there's so many more important people.
To be fair, you're also very comfortable, like, saying the meanest things about Cal.
Whoa, he's coming back at him.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Right. But like,
this is now
I got mad and targeted you. You were targeting a broad.
Do you remember what he had said that bothered you?
Not at all. Just the Cowboys fan voice that he likes to do.
Oh, yeah. Give me one of those.
Cowboys
That's what them Cowboys do.
What is that? What is that? Not one playoff games guy that ruined my time?
Them boys is back in town.
Like, whatever that is.
It's all based on, like, one game
It's because I went to Nubs Field. I paid way too much money for tickets, and I was surrounded by your ilk, with all due respect, but disrespectfully. Yeah. Like, there was a front row ahead of me, the whole section, everyone to my right, everyone to my left, and then everyone behind me. And their spokesman, like, was the worst of them. Like, for whatever reason, that was the guy they sort of elected in charge of our subsection. And so that was the dude that would yell all these things like,
"Them boys about to go all the way."
Like, they're not. But, like, you think, like, you're yelling it in my ear hole. And the only thing I can think of is, A, I paid for this. B, I'm never coming back here.
Mm-hmm. You haven't been back since, in fairness.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think the fact that you came in and said hello and came up and told Danny about this.
Very magnanimous.
Admirable.
Yeah.
I am going to advocate behind the scenes for an unblock.
Yeah. Cool.
That's what I'm going to
do. I think we can do it.
We're going to build a bridge.
Now, I'm looking at my big list of blocks here.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do it that way, I guess. I should go directly to his profile. That's probably the easier way to do it.
Yes. Easily the best way to do it, for sure.
Find this
But yes, generally speaking, I was telling you, listeners will occasionally come up to me and they'll be like, "Hey, man, you blocked me." And I know right away. I don't block anybody unless they said something awful.
Right.
I mute everybody. Like, there's nobody that's not muted.
I don't know if the mute button was a thing back when I got...
Because it's been a while.
Yeah.
No, but I will say, in fairness, that was a very blockable offense.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you know, the content, it was like a Jimmy Fallon mean tweets thing that we just did.
Yeah. And that's not all. That wasn't exhaustive either, by the way. There was a lot of them in there. Is this really you? Which one?
I think you got to – no, that's not him.
This is him?
That's a kid with a book bag.
No, because it looks like a totally different person. How recent is that profile pic?
Is it – what is it?
I'm making fun. Okay. I'm just joking. No, this is fine. All right, I'm hovering over the block button, and there's a chance to unblock. I'm wondering.
Come on, let's hear it. Puppetella Pizza.
Do I feel
unblocked?
Do I feel magnanimous? Do I feel gracious?
I think you do.
He is a Cowboys fan, though.
He's a listener. He came out here. He's a nice guy. He's a sweet man.
He takes all the Cowboys guff I give. But he's a Cowboys fan at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. From Nova.
Like, what? Ooh, that's worse.
Well, you're not helping yourself.
What if?
That's
what if
all the cards on the table.
Yeah, okay. What just want him to know the whole thing.
What if the condition? We're just balling up some spit. What if the condition is a renouncing of the Cowboys?
Oh.
What if it's an admission that I'm not from Dallas? I shouldn't be a fan of a team from a place I'm not from, and I don't know the restaurants or where the roads go. It's embarrassing that I'm a Cowboys fan.
Now I'm mad that I'm here.
It's embarrassing. I apologize for everything.
Okay.
Not even the tweets. The tweets are second. I mean, you know, it's a block outside of my life. But the whole Cowboys fan thing. What if you just apologize for that and renounced them?
I would never renounce
them. You couldn't do it.
I will admit and come clean that my happiness in the fall rides on the backs of 53 grown men that I've never met in
right.
my life. So that's just.
You're a football fan. I get that.
No renouncing.
We can all relate to that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the 53 guys that matter to us represent the region we're from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit different than you.
Right.
Why are you a Cowboys fan?
The 90s.
They were good in the 90s.
Oh, that's
you
tough.
See,
yeah,
that make it tougher to.
When my folks told me when I was younger, like that I could only pick one team, they thought it would make me switch. They didn't realize how like. What's the word? Like, you dig your heels in.
Yeah. Because now it's stubborn. That's rebellion.
Yeah. How stubborn, like, a young kid would be. Like,
Let me ask you this. Did you have a Cowboy starter jacket?
I still have my Cowboy starter jacket.
I knew it.
That's going to be.
I knew it. I knew
a
it.
Factor.
Yeah.
So we need. Can I get a drum roll, please? And Puppetella Pizza. Can we get a drum roll, please?
You didn't make this easy, Ben. I'll tell you that.
That's fine.
I wanted to forgive. I don't know if I want to. We're hovering. My finger is up. My finger is down. The unblock has happened.
The unblock has happened. He's being unblocked.
A probationary period of deblockification.
How long is his probation?
We're on a 10-year probation.
10 years.
You will check in with your parole officer.
Yes.
And you will periodically renounce a Cowboys move, and you will admit that this probably wasn't that smart of a pick last night, for example. If you could tweet that out to your Cowboys fan followers.
We're committed to Tyler's in Dallas. So that's just like that was
they
the whole point.
They do love Tyler's. Yeah.
You guys are big Tyler guys.
All right.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah. You just have to call them out. Jerry Jones is really bad at what he does. You could acknowledge that a few times. And
yeah, I can't wait for him to – like we've been thinking he's going to pass the flag to his son. His son's the only reason we didn't end up with Johnny Manziel in, what, 2014?
Yeah. He was obsessed with Johnny Manziel. Yeah.
He was a big fan.
I like to smell his cologne around this facility.
All right. Ben, good sport.
Good job,
thank
Ben.
You.
Good job, Ben.
And thank you for letting us read your tweets, by the way. That was not an easy thing for you to probably hear 7 years later.
It wasn't easy for him to hear.
Well,
thanks for dragging that stuff back up. I've forgotten about those. Man, oh, man.
I mean, but we see them from, you know, we see them from time to time. It's just a Friday for us, right? And now you got a new Twitter follower. You just increased your following just like that.
I did. I went back up one.
How about you?
Hey, look at me.
Round one of the NFL draft, Danny, last night. Only four trades. The first of them was at number two overall. I can't believe the Jaguars did what the Jaguars did. They got a great football player.
Yeah, he's
in Travis
star.
Hunter. That goes without saying, mm-hmm. right? They gave up too much, bro. I cannot move up that much to get a non-quarterback and give up what they did. Now, their argument, because I watched the press conference of their 34-year-old general manager after the draft last night, I think their argument is we got a wide receiver and we got a corner. We basically made two draft picks, so we gave all that up for an impact player on each side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's reality. He's not going to be able to play every down on both sides of the ball. You've chosen him as, let's say, a wide receiver. Then you get a guy who occasionally moonlights and plays a little bit of cornerback or vice versa. And I think it'll be primarily wideout. But look at the haul, man.
Yeah.
The Browns get a 2 this year, a 4 this year, a 5 this year, and a 1 next year to go back 3 spots when they're not even sitting taking a quarterback anyway. I would gladly pass on Hunter, who I think is going to be a superstar.
Hunter's great.
To get all that. I just think the Jags... while aggressive and it's cool, it made the night fun. Mm-hmm. That was way too much.
Yeah, it's not something I would do. So we have these rules as drafters or axioms or things that you kind of live by and are guideposts. There are exceptions, right? I mean, for me, I don't believe in drafting running backs high, but if I've got a complete roster and that's the player away I am, let's do that. That's malleable. That's flexible. This is one of those. If I'm picking in the top five, it's because I bet you I got a whole mess of needs and I've got a quarterback that I still believe in, by the way, and I still end up in the top five. This, even though he is 1.5 players, 2 players, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't fix all that ails me. I couldn't give up that much draft capital. As much as I like Hunter, and I think Hunter's a star. Now, if he's just one of the other, he's not a star. He's a good player, but not worth the number 2 overall pick. It's not something that I would do. It looks to me like a guy trying to establish a new paradigm or talk about aggression from a neophyte general manager, but that's a trade I would not have made.
It was a lot for sure, and the Jags seemed giddy about it, so I give them full marks for the aggressiveness. I always like general managers, as I say all the time with Adam Peters, who are willing to put their neck on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really easy to just sit back and do safe things that aren't going to get you in any trouble with your owner. So that part of it was cool. What did you make of Shedeur Sanders not going? I understand that he's flawed. He gets sacked a lot. You've got to deal with whatever comes with any baggage with Deion Sanders being somewhat volatile and how often he's going to critique you and the very public platform he has with every decision you're going to make. And maybe occasionally things that are private are going to go public because you also have Shedeur Sanders, who's got his own show and his own podcast. And he is a star in his own right already before he plays it down. But we see guys get overdrafted all the time. We see bad prospects get pushed up the board at the quarterback position. He had a really good year in terms of completion percentage and accuracy. He grades out very favorably. I'm just surprised that not one team, it took one, not one team sat down with him and said, this is worth doing at the end of the first round.
I'm trying to figure it out. The element, the variable here that we don't know, GP, is what were the conversations like? What were those meetings like? And again, this is not to impugn the kid. They could have been sparkling. I mean, I have no idea. The point I'm trying to make is there is some variable here that I don't quite get, because to me, he's a better prospect than Jackson Dart. Now, I'm not a talent evaluator. I just watch some football games, and there's a lot of attributes that Sanders has in terms of pocket awareness, abilities, a better athlete than he gets credit for. He can throw in different platforms, makes good decisions with the football, willing to stick in there and get smacked in the mouth to deliver the thing. That's a first-round quarterback to me. Right now, I'm not going as hard as Mel Kiper saying, like, he's my number one quarterback, the entire board, everyone who passes on him is going to make a giant mistake. I'm not doing that. But to your point, not one team went, yeah, that's worth the extra year. Right, that's worth having a guy for five seasons with a first-round quarterback. I was pretty surprised.
So going into last night, and I don't know how or why this was, but the Browns were heavily expected in the betting market to take Shedeur Sanders. Not at two, but trading back up into the first round. Mm-hmm. They ended up minus 400 by the end of the draft as the team that was going to come up and get him when the night ended. Now they're plus 175. You're getting way better than even money. The Raiders are the favorite right now to get Shedeur Sanders at minus 120. So perhaps somebody's hearing something. There are rumblings now that the Raiders, then the Browns, then the Saints in that order are the most likely teams to draft him. You mentioned Jackson Dart. I never thought Shedeur Sanders was going to be a great fit for the Giants and Brian Daboll as of about 2 weeks ago when we started to hear that they were off on him. I thought either Dart, who they got, or Shuck, the other of the quarterback prospects, it's got that Allen-like kind of arm and athleticism, because that's where Daboll came from in Buffalo. That's what he wants. Daniel Jones was a playoff quarterback for him for a year. I thought he wanted more of an athlete than Shedeur Sanders, and they go up and they get Dart. I'm surprised that they were that convinced in Jackson Dart, mm-hmm. and that ownership, John Mara, allowed them to do it. Because think about like Rivera in his final year here. It was that lame duck season where you knew they had to win or he was gone. The Giants are in the same boat. They've got a brutal schedule. They're in a really tough division. Philly's very good. Washington's legit. The Cowboys are very solid. And yet, they allowed to mortgage future picks rounds into the next couple of drafts so that they could go up to get their quarterback this group this year at the end of the first round. I just think that's malpractice you're probably going to fire these guys. But if Dart's really good, maybe he saves their bacon.
Yeah, then it works. But it sounds like he's not going to start right away. He's a project. He's going to last a little while.
How could he? They got Russell Wilson got Jameis Winston.
So I was talking to my Giants fan buddy this morning, and he's like, what'd you make of it? I said, it's just not what I would allow to happen. There's that's not a cohesive, sharp, long-term approach. If you want a new quarterback, you are at the top of the board. You make that happen at the top of the board, right? If you want a franchise passer, you do it there because you get all the benefits from it, and that's kind of that marquee piece. If he's not good enough to take in the top 7, 10, 15, 20, or even 25, I'm not really sure why we're doing this, why we're giving up future picks for someone that's not going to be there to make them in all likelihood. So, again, it's one of those, like, right now this is in my left hand, and the right hand has no idea what's happening, and the next guy's going to inherit a little bit of a mess.
We'll get to the best players available in round two for Washington. They pick at 61 coming up in just a bit. But next, what did you think about the Connerly selection that nobody saw coming? The Commanders went tackle. They didn't go edge or corner. They didn't do any of the things we were anticipating. How did you feel about last night? We have not pulled you guys yet and gotten your thoughts. 800-636-1067 if you want to join us. That's 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jeremiah, NFL Network's draft coverage last night, talking Josh Connerly Jr. That's your new starting right tackle for the Commanders after he was taken at the end of the first round. I say that, but I'm sure they'll tell you he's going to have to compete and win the job, and maybe that's true. But you don't take him where they took him if you don't think he can start over Andrew Wiley. The show is live today out and about. It's a Friday field trip, and we are at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. There are 11 locations all over Virginia. They're also now in Columbia, Maryland as well. Now, this is a wonderful spot, delicious Neapolitan pizza. They've got happy hour specials running all show long, so come on out right off Route 50 in Chantilly. Pupatella Pizza, serving the real MVP of flavor with authentic, delicious, hat-trick-worthy Neapolitan pizzas. They're Caps fans, too. People are walking,
ready to go,
and rocking their gear in here that are working today, and they're excited for Game 3 tonight, as are we. But the phones are open for you right now, 800-636-1067. What did you make of the Connerly pick that, for the first time in show history, and I mean this, in the 6 weeks leading up to the draft, you and I talk about the draft almost every single day. Not one time did either of us speculate that this could be the pick, and not one of our guests did as well. I don't want to say it was out of nowhere because he was a first-round caliber tackle. It's a position where they could stand to get better, but we just had our eyes on different things. And I honestly, I'm beating myself up a little bit for not at some point thinking maybe he could have been the guy.
It never occurred to me, didn't occur to you. I don't think it occurred to most of our hosts or any analysts that we had on. I think for me, my own personal thought process was that's Coleman's gig, right? He was a left tackle as a rookie, as a third round pick. They said, you know what, we need to upgrade there. Let's go get Laremy Tunsil.
You're right.
And then Coleman's the right tackle. That was in my brain.
Because last year Brandon Coleman played left tackle and it was not bad.
I think so.
I think you watched him and you said you could do better, and maybe you should try to do better. And by the way, they did in a big way with Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. Maybe the better is Coleman playing better, going into the role. Okay, fine. So in my brain, I went, okay, they've upgraded really three spots potentially, or two spots at a minimum, just by making one move. AKA, your right tackle is better now, presumably Coleman in year two, moving there, transplanting Andrew Wiley, who's now going to be inside, and whoever is going to start there until Cosby comes back, hopefully get the seed legs underneath him. Now you've upgraded three spots. And that was in my brain, and that's why it never occurred.
Wiley's a two-year starter, and they opted to keep him. There was a thought. Remember, they could have saved a lot of money.
They could save some money, yeah.
By cutting him. So when they made that decision, in my mind, I went, okay, Andrew Wiley's their starting right tackle. Then they moved Brandon Coleman off left tackle when they went and got Laremy Tunsil, and they said immediately he was going to compete on the right side. They didn't say tackle. They just said the right side. We all assumed that meant him versus Wiley. He probably beats him out. So I'm looking at a competition – two guys for that spot, better situation than you've even had the last couple of years, but it's going from a 5 to a 6. And they said, what if we had an 8 out of 10 at right tackle? So it all makes sense. Your number one asset's Jaden Daniels. Every decision you make as an organization, if it starts with, does this help Jaden Daniels? It's probably the right way to operate. And I feel good about the end result, even if we didn't see it coming. But let's see what you guys think. Mike is in McLean, home of the Highlanders. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Grant and Dave, how we doing today?
Dave.
How are you on the day after they took a tackle and nobody thought they would, Dave?
Dave. Love the pick. We live in a copycat league, and what the Commanders have done to combat the Eagles is with their incredible defensive line. We saw what they did to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This is a long-term investment to protect Jaden Daniels. As we've seen, the offensive line can never be deep enough. You go get a big, angry dude to block Jaden Daniels, backside and front side for years to come. Great pick. Thrilled about it.
Thanks, buddy. Boys. So I brought this up in the first segment. I want to circle back to it for a second based on this call. 11% of their schedule is played against Philadelphia, right? 2 of 17. 11% more is played against the New York Giants. And yes, everyone focuses on the Eagles, and I understand that because they're the team you're chasing. They're the bully. They're the team you're trying to catch. So you do need to compare yourself to them. They're the measuring stick. But the Giants might actually have a better-built defensive line right now than the Eagles. And the Eagles is awesome. But the Giants have Dexter Lawrence, who might be the best D-tackle in football. They have Brian Burns, who is potentially any given year a 12 to 16 sack type player on the edge. And they just drafted Abdul Carter, who I think could ultimately be an All-Pro and maybe even mess around and get DPOY votes in the next few seasons.
Remember, Thibodeau has eaten their lunch a couple times over.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm not even thinking about Thibodeau, who they said yesterday will get a fifth-year contract. He's just okay, but for some reason he dominates Washington.
He's beaten up Charles Leno pretty good over the years as a speed rusher.
But you're right. He's a good player. So my point is the Giants, they're not a good team. They're loaded on the D-line. The Eagles are very good at that area as well. And the Cowboys, not so much, but Micah Parsons is the best player in the division that you deal with maybe on either side of the ball. And they can just move him. They do all the time. He lines up on one side. Now he's over the center. Now he's on the other side. They could go him against Wiley. So I don't know how much of a factor Carter getting picked last night was, but I think we'd be naive if we didn't say that the division being absolutely stacked on the D-line, all three of your opponents, and that's now 6 of 17. So add that up. That is 35% of your schedule in the division and your most important games. Yeah, you sure as heck better feel really good about both tackles.
Yeah, I think that's a big first part of the stoop that we're making here, which led to that pick. I think the second part is what happened this past year. I had as much fun as anybody did. I saw the Hail Mary. I saw the fourth and whatevers. I saw the third down and one where he escapes the grasp of a Tampa Bay defender, dives for a first down. I saw a team playing ball control without being able to run the football down the stretch too. I watched it. I had a great time. Daniels is special. He is it. This is the thing that we've been searching for you know, since Joe Theismann broke his leg. The point is, it doesn't get easier. Everybody sort of assumes, like, oh, he'll just keep getting better. The league adjusts. The league figures out. The league has now studied every play that Cliff Kingsbury called, who, what, where, when, why, and how. You need better personnel. They got away with some stuff last year. Key touchdown moments, respectfully, to guys like Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder, who were available at any time for anybody to sign for a reason, right? You do this because you need the upgrades. You need to be able to say, you know what? We don't want to get away with something. We want to accentuate a strength, and that's why they did it.
I'm also not sure there was another pick to be made that would have affected more positions positively. So, in other words, you fix right tackle.
That's a smart way to look at it, Grant.
Right?
Yeah.
By fixing right tackle, now both of the guys that were competing there could end up starting at guard in week one. And if that's the case, then you also upgraded at left guard and right guard. So you're talking about 60% of your line that was directly affected by that pick. Mm-hmm. Elijah's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What'd you think of Connerly?
I think it's a great pick. And I think it's a great time to get that cat, having Laramie Tunsil here as a bit of a guide on what it's like being in the NFL and being a first round talent. I think they do a real good job pairing vets with young guys. Even they got McGee even last year. Doesn't matter where they get you. And they paired him obviously with Bobby Wagner, and you know, having Brandon Coleman being a rookie last year, he can also talk to him like, yo, this is what I learned from being a rookie. Because it was fresh in his mind versus a lot of these vets, you know, they were working years ago. So I think it's a good place for him to talk to, you know, some young cats, talk to the older vets, so he can build his chops. And I think it's going to be good for the team. One thing I'm really excited about is his measurables. When you look at this, his ability to, you know, just move it faster, his cat can move. So you got to think of some of these plays where his ability shines or where would it, you know, potentially look good at. So I'm
thinking about how often they run screens, to your
point.
Yeah,
screens.
Get him out in
space. Oh, my goodness.
Appreciate the phone call. It's a really astute point about Tunsil, who's a five-time Pro Bowler, who is 31 years old, or he will be this football season. He's 30 right now. But just as someone who you bring in here, and now everything Laramie Tunsil does, you're going to ask Josh Connerly to do. See him? That guy's one of the best in the league at his position, has had a Pro Bowl career. Follow him. If he wants to answer questions, even better. If he doesn't, that's okay too. Everything he does, you do. Be in his back pocket. And he's right. They have done a really good job. Think about the relationship between, even on different sides of the ball, Bobby Wagner and Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
The marriage and the rapport between the vets and the kids is a cool point. Chris in Hyattsville, you're on Grant and Danny. We're at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly off Route 50. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just thankful that you guys don't have recall any of my mean tweet from 10, 15 years ago.
well, investigation might be forthcoming.
I've gotten into it with Chris on Twitter a time or two.
That's true.
He is the tact of a sledgehammer, this guy.
So this is what I think, right? I think that...
Anyway.
Any hoodles.
Success is boring, right? And... this is what it must feel like, I think. This draft is what it's like to be a Ravens fan every year, or a Steelers fan, or a Packers fan. Teams that are perennially successful in the playoffs, that pick late in the draft, there's less buzz, there's less excitement, and also there's more uncertainty, because for the last 25 years, the draft has been the highlight of the season for this franchise. So there's so much interest. We always went big and tried to draft an immediate solution instead of trusting our process. And now we have a general manager. I feel like this is going to be routine, where they're going to zig where we think they should zag. We're not going to know exactly what they're doing, but we will trust them because the process will produce results. And often it's very boring.
That's actually such a good point. Yep. Thanks for the call, Chris. Yesterday felt, as I'm thinking about how to word this, it was not sexy or that fun, but smart.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was not what anybody wanted, but maybe it's what you needed, Batman style or something. But it was just, you look at it and you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But it wasn't the thing everyone was talking about. And to his point, I think what he's saying is that's probably a sign that a good team did a good team
that
thing.
That it's matured. I mean, his Ravens point is 100% right. The Ravens, for example, last night drafted Malachi Starks. And as soon as they did, I went, oh, yeah, that's them.
Of course.
Of course it fits, right? Now you may not necessarily have had the cornerback there that you maybe want or needed, so let's pair him with Kyle Hamilton and have a really dynamic safety core. Of course, that's a really smart pick. It feels like that's what they do every year. That's not they drafted this sexy thing or this big trade or whatever. Just a normal, competent, boring at times, efficient pick. I'll see you at 12 wins again.
We are winning off the field next because it is Friday on Grant and Danny. How couldn't you be winning? We're sitting at Pupatella Pizza. We're eating delicious food. We are getting ready for game 3 of the Caps playoffs tonight as they take on Montreal. The Commanders have the 61st pick, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft tonight. The Nats have won 4 out of 6. They welcome Juan Soto and the Mets to town at home. Should be a beautiful night for baseball in the district. There's a lot of good. We're talking about it all today on The Fan. Double dipping today with the NFL draft and the Capitals in the playoffs. Nats are playing third fiddle. Respectfully, they got 162. They're just going to have to deal with that. Slightly below 500 right now. But if James Wood could hit a ninth bolt, he could force your way right back onto the front page for tomorrow if you want to do that.
That's pretty much where we are. It's good state of the union right there. We got some playoff hockey, the once-a-year draft. And, yeah, you're right. We're in the grind of the regular season now.
It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. You can call us at 800-636-1067 to let us know. But I'll lead this show.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys.
We got to do it, buddy.
I don't even want to mention this because it just feels like we're bragging. And I don't want to feel so braggadocious and boastful.
Here's the thing. This time it is a bit of a brag.
But I'm about to go full junkies on you.
By God. Grant Bickle, go.
We were hired to work at 106.7 The Fan at different points in time. I got hired in July of 2009. The station flipped that month. I was brought in as a part-timer making a few bucks an hour to help Chris Russell, our then Redskins beat reporter, as the assistant to the beat reporter.
Assistant to the regional beat reporter.
Yeah. July of 2009, final year of Jim Zorn. I did a little Wizards coverage at that time leading up to the draft.
I forgot that you did that.
I did.
Reporting live from, it was the Verizon Center at that point?
It was the Verizon Center.
Reporting live from the Verizon Center. Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan. I remember those.
The only reason I'm telling you this is because we're coming up on what would be my 16th year, I guess.
We're in year 16, dude.
Year 16 at the station.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, when were you hired?
In November of that year, I did my first shift with Holden Kushner, doing part-time, nighttime, fill-in, whatevers. I'd done a video or two that had gone, you know, viral-ish or whatever among the then Redskins kind of fan community. The Junks had me on the day before Thanksgiving. Brett was kind enough to let me, I begged to come on. He was like, yeah, that's fine. These guys are going to be checked out at like 9:40 on a Wednesday. And I did a segment with them, and Jason never looked up from his computer. EB asked me a couple questions. I got a couple laughs. And our boss said, hey, do you want to come in and, like, you know, do an hour or 2 hours after the Wizards play or after the Capitals play or the Nationals play? And I said, yes. So that was it. Winter of 2009.
I've had a great time at 106.7 The Fan.
I've enjoyed it.
It's been a good run, and hopefully it goes a little bit longer.
Sure.
We've got perks with this job occasionally. Yes. That have been really, really cool. I don't want to besmirch or downplay anything. We've been very, very lucky with some cool opportunities to go to amazing events and cover championship series, yeah. is. And in my case, you know, cool car deals with Lindsay and all this great stuff.
Sure.
I've got to tell you that as a fact, maybe the greatest thing that's ever happened to me since I started working at 106.7 The Fan happened today. I got here to Pupatella Pizza.
Uh-huh.
I plopped down in my chair. I started preparing the show rundown well before we went on the air. And one of the owners of this here operation,
our guy Michael,
who has shown us nothing but hospitality, Michael comes over to me. And he has a gift. This gift, Danny, is a VIP card that is heavy. Okay.
There's weight to it.
It weighs about as much as what I like a paperback book. Just a small card. Looks like a black piece of plastic. If I dropped it, you would hear it clink.
Okay? You hear that sound?
That was the clink.
That's the card.
This card in my hand is a VIP card to Pupatella Pizza.
Yep.
It gets me $150 worth of food every single day. Yeah, it's the craziest, dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now,
every single day,
yep,
for as long as I'm alive, which because of this card will only be a few more weeks, This gets me $150 in meals. I could just eat pizzas until the cows come home. I told my wife this, and for the first time in a long time, I could hear life in her voice again. Like, she's like, this is why I married this person.
This was the hope.
All the other stuff sucks. This was the hope. When you latch on to whatever this is, You might get something cool once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the greatest moment of my time at 106.7 The Fan.
Listen to this. Here we go.
Are you a VIP?
I am. I'm number 110. You're 109. I don't know which is better. I just know that we're both VIPs. I got to tell you, I was like legitimately moved by this.
I cried.
I teared up a little.
I cried.
Thinking about pizza, but B, thinking about someone being like, that guy's worth it. That the whole deal, and now I'm getting a little sappy for a second. I'm getting a little Chuck Sapienza with you.
Odyssey has never done anything this nice for us.
They got it. That's not true. The one time they made us take care of a plant.
That's a good point.
Wasn't that nice where they gave you a box with a plant that was already almost dead?
We got a plant.
And said, do that. And I was like, if you could just give me the $4.99, I'd have been happier. Anyway, the point is, when I got my notification that you helped set up from Greg Ritchie, head baseball coach at the George Washington University,
yeah,
that I was getting to the Hall of Fame, that was a really amazing moment for me. Obviously, the honor is really cool, but it was the fact that somebody thought about me. You know what I mean? Like 20 years after I was done playing, they were like, what this guy has done is worth discussion. Whether I got in or not, someone's advocating for me. Listen to this. That's the sound of someone giving a damn about me.
Yeah.
Old Rainey Duyeh, not just flapping his gums into the wind.
It's just
not
what we
just
need,
arguing
by the way,
with Grant Paulson. This means something. And that means something to me. I got a VIP card, sir.
Now they have pizzas, don't worry.
Yeah.
With us being co-pair aficionados.
Yeah.
So we'll have to be very smart about this.
We'll be judicious.
Yes. We'll be smart. But Danny, come on.
Come on.
come on. Pizza, meatballs.
Pupatella. Buddy.
Every single day.
Our guy, Zach,
I'm
going to
be bleeding. You're going to cut me open, and I'm going to bleed Pupatella.
I want to tell you something. This thing they just brought out to us. So if you've been to the fairgrounds, had your funnel cake, I want you to imagine the world's greatest pizza dough, just sort of thin, wrapped up, fried, dipped in sugar and Nutella. And you're going, Danny, what does that taste like, Joy? Danny, but what is it? What's the essence of it? Hope and belief. It's like eating tomorrow if you knew it was going to be great weather. I want to bathe this. I want to be inside of it, but
you
I want to
bathe it or
wanna,
bathe in it.
I want to bathe
you
in this.
You want to scrub it and clean it.
I want to use it to clean my pores.
Yeah.
This is one of the greatest things I've ever eaten in my life.
Any hoodles, quite a day for your guys.
Any hoods, that's a VIP. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Miss you, pal.
Long-winded, long-trip way of saying,
winning off
the field.
The
greatest day in show history.
VIPs.
With all apologies to the Capitals winning a Stanley Cup and the Nationals winning a World Series. Pupatella VIPs.
Pupatella VIPs. I have a World Series ring. It's in second place.
We're Hall of Famers.
Both of us Hall of Famers. Yeah. That's the only show where you could say that.
Pupatella VIPs.
Pupatella VIPs.
On my business card, it'll say Grant Paulson, Pupatella VIP, also works at 106.7 The Fan.
I'm going to change my Twitter profile right now.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
G&D on The Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next. We'll be covering the teams in town you care the most about. We're busy today. The Commanders, the Capitals, and the NFL Draft.
Winning off the field.